It's good to be with you all. Good morning. Oh, it's such an honor to be back with the CT family and the Philly Tab family. Can we just wave to Philly Tab and say hello as well? My name is JP, and like Pastor Al, oh, I love you all. Thank you. Thank you. Like Pastor Al and Chrissy said, it's such an honor to be here. And my wife is here. My wife Rachel is here this morning. Can you all welcome her? Rachel, can you wave? This is that's a big deal to have her. I've been coming for the last couple of years to preach, and this is the first time she's been able to come with us. And so we're so glad she's here. And I'm just excited. Man, I told the team, I was crying like a baby when worship was happening. And I was like, we should just keep singing to the Lord. Amen. Like he's here. And I want to recognize that more than anything else. Did you come for him today? I said, did you come for him today? There we go. All right. Hey, you have the best pastors in the world, and pray for them. They're doing what an amazing thing that they get to take what God has done here for so many years and get to spread it. And you guys go with them. Your testimonies, your stories, what God's done in and through you, it goes with them. So it's just not them traveling. It's this family going and being represented. And so I just want to say, keep praying for them and keep praying for your pastors. Can we just thank the Lord for your pastors, Pastor Al, Chrissy, all the pastors on staff? Come on, you need to give a little bit more thanksgiving. God's doing something in this church. And we've been a part of this place coming up on eight years almost. We entered into a staff meeting, and it's been a joy to watch what God's doing. My wife and I pastor here in Chicago on the south side and in the Tri-Taylor Pilsen neighborhood. But this is a supernatural move of God. And I'm very, I don't just throw that word out there. Two weeks ago, I think it was, I was watching a prayer meeting, your prayer meeting. It was, I think, two prayer meetings ago. And there was a moment where Chrissy came up and just started saying, we need to pray for miracles and breakthrough. And then a doctor came up and prayed. So I'm telling y'all, like, I was sitting in my living room eating some coconut yogurt. Anyways, and I put the bowl of yogurt down because the presence of the Lord hit our house. And what he's doing in here, guys, it's special. It's unique, and God is really pleased with what's happening here. And when he shows up, it is a sure sign that this is a place where honors God, and God is here today. So I just want to honor you all and say, stay committed, stay the course, stay with him. Come on, is there a little faith in the room? Like, continue to do what God has called you to do, and God is going to continue to build his church. All right. I have a message today that I want to share, and we're gonna praise the Lord a little bit more at the end of this. Amen. I know this is the early 9 o'clock service, so if I need to get some coffee in here and hook you guys up with it to wake you up, we'll do that. But at the end of this, I really feel like the Lord is just gonna move as he's already begun to. But this message, because we have to put a title to it, it's this. It's don't lose it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't lose it. I want to give you some framework real quick, and then we're going to jump into the word of where this message has come from. Probably over the last 6 months to 9 months, the Lord has been taking me personally on a journey of discovering what it looks like and how to operate in living in the day that he has given me. I've been learning and discovering. I know this might feel very simple to some of us in the room, but can I tell you, I think there's a call for the body of Christ to get back to the things that we once knew to be really true. And he's taught me what it looks like to learn how to just focus on this day today. How many of you worry about tomorrow? You can be honest. Let's all be in the boat together. Not everybody else. You all are holy. Pray for me right now. But we worry at times for tomorrow. How many of you woke up today and you thought about what you have tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and 9 a.m.? Guilty. And the Lord has been teaching me that this day today is the only day that has been promised to me. That actually Jesus says when he's on earth, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. He prays a prayer that says, Lord, today give me the bread that I need today, daily manna for the daily troubles. And so I'm just giving you some framework. The Lord has been teaching me what it looks like just in my own personal life to walk every single day just like that, thinking and focusing on this is the day the Lord has made. This is the call for believers today. I think we're getting so trapped on focusing on what might happen tomorrow and next week or 6 months from now, or what may look like in our country. Can I go here for a minute? Like, what may look like coming down the road and all that. And we get freaked out and we panic and we get anxious, you know, so quickly. And the Lord's like, hey, stop it. That's the Holy Spirit. The way he talks to me. Maybe he doesn't talk to you. Maybe he's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Stop. Worry about what I have for you today. Learn how to abide in me today. Learn how to walk with me today. And in that, the Lord has revealed a ton of stuff, but one of the passages of scripture, this is what I want to focus on today. This has really helped me lean into today. Are you ready? All right, open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How many of you brought your Bibles to church? Show me. How many of you are proud of your Bibles? You get extra coins in heaven today. If you brought your phones, we're judging you. I'm just kidding. You're free. You're free. You're free. 1 Thessalonians 5. This is a very familiar passage of scripture, but we're just going to dive in. All right? It says this. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Why don't you just say, thank you, Lord, right now. All right. Rejoice always. Pray continually. That passage, if I could just break it down real quick, that right there means just commune and abide with him all day long. And then this is it. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray continually. But give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want to focus on that one phrase right there. Give thanks. Thanks in all circumstances. Don't lose it. If you're anything like me, when I lose something, I will not go to bed or give up until I find it. Anybody else like that? Like, it consumes everything in me. It's kind of like if I lose something, I'm going on a hunt, I'm canceling all the meetings, I'm doing whatever I need to, I'm finding this thing. About a year ago plus, maybe a little longer than that, I lost my precious AirPods. You know, they're precious now, right? I lost them. I was out throughout the city. I came home that night. I reached in. I was trying to look for them. I couldn't find them. So next thing you know, I'm calling the dogs. I'm like, we're going to find this thing. Like, I'm finding my AirPods. They're showing up on the Find My app. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Tech, hello? Like, I'm looking. I'm like, I know they're here somewhere. I get in the car, I drive to the place that I was just that day, and I'm in the parking lot shining my flashlight, like trying to find them, and someone stops and they're like, hey man, you good? I'm like, I'm just trying to find my AirPods. They're like, if you lost them here, they're not here anymore. Like, we're in Chicago. No one just picked them up. It's like, I should return these. So I searched high and low. I looked everywhere for them. And then sadly, I didn't find them and I gave up. And it was a tragic day. But I gave up. About it, probably, I don't know, 6 months later, I went back and I put the jacket on that I was wearing that day. You guys are very kind. Thank you for... Duh. And I reached in my pocket. Those precious AirPods sitting right in the last place I left them. I searched high and low. I looked everywhere. And they were in the last spot that I left them. I say that to just ask, maybe for some of you in this room, I actually think this could be for all of us in the room, truly. Have any of you lost Thanksgiving? Have any of you misplaced Thanksgiving? Have any of you looked at the challenges of life, or even the challenges of this week, or even the challenge of yesterday, and misplaced and lost something precious, which is the precious action of thanksgiving. I believe the invitation today is to come back today, to put a line in the sand, to be a people, Chicago Tabernacle, Philly Tab, to be a people that say, I will not lose Thanksgiving regardless of what's happened, regardless of what will happen, regardless of what I'm facing or what I will face, I will not lose it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't lose it. Turn to the other one and say, don't lose it. I mean, I remember being saved, right? How many of you remember the day you got saved, right? This is part two. I remember I got saved at 22. I was a mess. You guys, some of you know my testimony. It was like, man, I was a good sinner. And the Lord redeemed my life. And I remember, like, I was so captured by the love of Jesus that I just told everybody. I remember telling everybody, like, I'm so thankful this man named Jesus has saved my life. I couldn't stop talking about it. I remember walking into a room and all my buddies were drinking and I was just like, guys, he saved me. I'm so in love. And they're like, dude, just stop talking. Like, and I'm like, no, you're not gonna. I was so in love that I just couldn't stop thanking him. And then life happens and we mature in the faith and we get wiser, which is not a bad thing. And we grow in our knowledge of him. Not a bad thing. Please grow. This is a place of becoming, yeah? Let's become more and more like Jesus. But something happens where we grow in the faith and we grow in maturity and then we grow as adults. We grow in our lives, in our jobs, in our families, in our dynamics of life. And we lose the most precious things, which is, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you saved my life. Thank you that, this is simple, but this is so needed today. Thank you that you've redeemed my life. Thank you that you've called me out of darkness into light. Thank you that you've removed me from the pathway of hell. Thank you that you've brought me into the kingdom of light. Thank you that your grace has covered me. Thank you for supernatural peace that keeps my mind from going crazy. Thank you. I feel the Lord. Just right now, the tingles, I got the tingles. I do, I feel them. It's like, man, we cannot lose this. I feel like this is a really important thing for the church to learn more than ever today. This in so many ways has become my anthem. Like when I go and preach, this is like the message. I'm like, church, the body of Christ, we're all in this together. Let's be a people that aren't just thankful on Sunday mornings. Oh, but this should be the most, can I just encourage you? This should be the biggest party. Some of you know what listen, I know some, I don't know all of you that much, but I know some of you, you used to probably party and not the good party. This should be the biggest celebration. We should come into Sunday morning so full of faith, so excited, because all week long, we've been giving thanks to God. We've been rejoicing in him. We've been with him, abiding in him. And so we come into this moment and I don't have to muster up like, I got to start giving thanks now. I've done it all week. What would happen to a church if this place becomes a place where you all walk in and the worship team doesn't even have to tell you to start singing? You're already so filled with Jesus, you're like, I'm gonna sing even if they're on key or off key, right? I'm gonna start singing even if the drummer's like, shh. Yeah, I'm gonna sing because he's that good and I know what it feels like to give him thanks because I've been doing it all week. I'm passionate about this because the world needs it. The world needs to see a picture of this. You know, I'm going to share some scripture verses and show you some places in the scripture where thanks was given and what it does. But I can't unlock this in you, aka I can't put my hands on you and pray that you have a thankful heart. I've actually learned this. I've discovered this, and I'm learning it more and more, but I've discovered that I can't come and put my hands on this man right here and say, Lord, fill his heart with thanksgiving. I can pray, Lord, soften him. Lord, reveal yourself to him. But what I've learned is I can't impart thanksgiving. You know why? Because I asked my wife to do it over and over and over and over again for so many years. You know, she's here and I love her to death, but she wakes up and she's like, everything's rainbows and butterflies. You know, any husbands know what I'm talking? Like, I wake up and I'm like, I need 6 cups of coffee. And I need the Holy Ghost. I don't wake up like, woo, what a day to be alive. I'm like, woo, can I go back to bed? Anybody else? And I've asked my wife over the years, can you just put your hands on me and pray? And she goes, no, you need to learn this. Love you, babe. I love you so much. But she's right. This is a muscle that the body of Christ, I can teach this, I'm doing it right now, but you have to walk out of here today and you have to learn this. You have to build this muscle. You have to grow in this. You have to discover the power of this. And can I just give you a little hint to help you? The more that you know Jesus and fall in love with Jesus, it becomes easier. The more that you discover him in his word and discover him in times of communion, it becomes easier. But we have to build this muscle, church, and you don't go to the gym one time and build muscles. How many of you have ever gone to the gym and lifted one time and you think you walk out of there like you're puffed up, swole, like, and then you get home and you look at yourself, you're like, I look the same. You just don't go to the gym one time and build a muscle. This is why this is God's will for our lives, that we would do this daily. Rejoice, always pray, commune, but give thanks in all circumstances today. Because if we learn it today, tomorrow will be stronger. Yes, all those things, but today I'll discover more of him, I'll grow deeper in him, and I'll have a heart that's in tune with him, and I'm building muscle today. This is a call for the body of Christ to build some muscle. Because the world needs it. I mean, let's be honest. Can I just talk to the cultural moment for a second? Thank you, I will. I love that. Let's be honest. Can I just say something? I'm gonna say it. I'm looking to the pastors over there. This light is right in my, yeah. I heard this recently said, so I didn't come up with this, but I heard it recently said that the body of Christ isn't called to be prosecutors of the world. We're called to be a witness to the world. Jesus says, go and be a witness. If you get into, have you ever been in court? Like there's a prosecutor and there's a witness. They act very different. They talk very different. They're asking and saying different things. We're called to be a witness. Did you know that? You're not called to be a prosecutor to the world that's dark and lost. They are condemned. They know that. They need a witness to come in and share the goodness of God. They need a witness to walk in and declare what Jesus has done. They need a witness to walk in and go, I have so much thanksgiving in my heart because of what he's done. They need a witness because the world today is all about me. Right? Well, let's just be honest for a second. And we're all falling trapped to it at times, but the world is like me, myself, and I. What can I get? How am I gonna make my way? How am I gonna build my platform? How am I gonna do my thing? We take selfies. I'm not selfish. Let's go to your page. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's like, ah! And then please heart it, please, please, just love me. This is the moment we're in. Come on, I know this might be like, ah, that's hard to hear, but it's the reality. And the world is consumed with self. And we have an opportunity to be a witness of what it looks like to not. Because in 2 Timothy, and I don't, forgive me if the team doesn't have this one, but in 2 Timothy 3, it talks about what the world will look like in the last days, okay? And I'm gonna read this. If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy 3. I'm just gonna read verses 1 through 5. Is this okay if I read the Bible at Chicago Tab? Remember this, in the last days, there will be many troubles because people will love themselves, love money, brag, and be proud. They will say evil things against others and will not obey their parents or be thankful or be the kind of people God wants. They will not love others. They will refuse to forgive. Will gossip. Should I go there? No, just let the Holy Spirit. And will not control themselves. They will be cruel, will hate what is good, will turn against their friends and will do foolish things without thinking. They will be conceited, will love pleasure instead of God and will act as if they serve God but will not have his power. Stay away from these people. That, you read that, that's a sobering passage of scripture. But I don't know about you, but me, I've read that and been like, whew, okay, well, I'm trying not to brag. I don't love money, right? At least I don't think I've worked through all that, right? I'm not turning against my friends. I'm obeying my parents, even as a 37-year-old, as best as I can and honor them as best as I can. This is just me insight, right? I'm not trying to be conceited. I'm not trying to love pleasure more than God. I'm not doing any of this. Except there's a little quick word there that I read really fast over. Did you catch it? It says this. They will say evil things in verse 2 against others and will not obey their parents or be thankful. Whoa. So I'm cleared on all the other stuff, but that is in there. That in the days of end, when people start doing all sorts of things, we can look and go, I'm not doing any of that. But if you're like me, I'm looking going, that's me. Hello? Is this on? I know it's a conviction, but man, it says, or be thankful. Church, we need this. We need to rise up in Thanksgiving. Yes, don't gossip. Can I tell you guys the quickest way to reveal Jesus to someone in your office space is leave when the gossip train starts. Walk out. Don't be like, here, that clock's going really fast. Here, I'm just trying to help them process it. No, you're not. You just love the drama. It's like I'm processing with somebody. No, you're gossiping. You can give an offering later for that one. That's just going to help you. Right? Be thankful. Because in the days of last, this is something that will turn men's heart, women's hearts to the things of evil when they lose thankfulness. How much more do we need it as the people that are full of the greatest hope in the world, and his name is Jesus? It's a small thing in context of that passage, but it's a rather large thing in the kingdom. Gratitude and thanksgiving is required in every single season of life. A passage of scripture says, give thanks whenever it feels good, whenever the things are right, whenever the bank account, no, it says give thanks when? In all circumstances. Can I give you some passages that have helped me grow in my thanksgiving? Is this all right? The first is this. And actually, the worship team, Annie said it today. She was praying it. Like, when we enter into thanksgiving, we get past his gates and we get into his courts. Very simple, familiar passage, Psalms 100, right? Like I can't tell you how many times I've opened up services, flipped to 100, not because it's an easy thing or but it's truly like life, right? That it says that we get to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. There is a way to the king. And I can't tell you, I'm not gonna sit up here and articulate or explain the why behind it. Sometimes the best thing in the kingdom is just obey. Stop trying to talk yourself out of, well, I can dissect this passage. I can exegete this passage. No, just start thanking him. And watch as you get in through the gates into his courts. But what's interesting, it says that enter his gates, Psalms 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And then right after that, we don't say this enough, it says be thankful unto him. So what do you do when you get into the place? You just start thanking him. You know, gates... Right? If you have a fence at your house, what's the fence there for? To keep people out. Let's be honest. No, I just like how it looks. No, you don't want anybody coming into your yard. Hello? Am I talking to anybody, right? Like when you put a gate up, or that's what it is, a fence, it's to keep people out. There's a way to the kingdom, to getting to him. He has a gate. Not every... He came for all people to die, but not everybody will recognize him as king. But when you recognize him as king, there's a way to get into him. Is this like, there's a way. You can't just be like, oh, I love Jesus. Jesus is my supplement. Can I tell you, Jesus is not a supplement to your life. He is the Lord over your life, or he's not at all. And he can't be like an add-on on Sunday. He's not a king that's welcomed in only when you need it. He is the king of all kings, right? And so there's a way to get to him, and that's going, hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And you know what happens? I just see it, and I just get a picture of this all the time in my heart. The door of heaven opens up. And then when I get in there, I'm just like, be thankful unto him. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. I have found in my prayer life that I'm less concerned about my laundry list of needs over the last 6 months. Oh, I got plenty of them. Plenty. I'm more concerned about getting in the presence of the Lord on this day today and thanking him and watching that all the laundry list of needs gets dealt with. Is this helping you? It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I didn't come up with this. I heard this taught by a guy down in Texas, and it's a really profound example, but I just want to use, like that door, those sets of doors you guys all came in through, yes? None of you walked through the wall, I hope. If you did, I'd be getting off the stage real fast. Anyways, funny in my head, keep things inside, Jay. You walked through that door, yeah? That door opened. How did it open? Because of things called hinges. Little hinges on that door. No matter the size of a door that you go to that opens up, that swings open, it has hinges. Even the largest door that is found in NASA has hinges on it. Without hinges, the door does not open. Without the hinges, the door is a wall. Thanksgiving is the hinge that will open up your heart to the Lord. And some of you right now, some of you are sitting here, and I've counseled people, and they're like, I just feel far from God. I don't feel like I could connect with God. And the very first question I'm asking now more than ever is, how's your Thanksgiving? Because when you're thankful, the hinge of it opens the door of your heart to him, and you just get consumed with him very quickly. You don't have to be like, I'm so far from him. I don't have him. I don't know where he's at. No. Just start thanking him and watch that your heart that was once walled off becomes a door that's open to his presence, open to his goodness, open to his mercy, open to his peace, open to his almighty power. Watch your heart become a place where you now are in his presence. This is what Thanksgiving does. It opens up your heart to him. Woo, just say thank you. Thanksgiving heals then. This is another thing I've discovered. It heals our position of lack. Can I go here? How many of you already woke up today thinking about the thing that you need that you are lacking? I'll get in the boat with you. Right? It's human nature. It's life. We lack things at times. We need things. Right? But when you have thanksgiving in your heart, it breaks the spirit of lack. I believe this. Oh, I believe this now more than ever. In Matthew's account, in Matthew 14, it's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You all know the story? It's okay if you're new here and you don't. Let me just tell you. Jesus comes, the disciples come and say, how are we going to feed these people? Send them away. And he's like, you feed them. If I'm the disciples, I'm retiring that day. Like, no, I'm out. There's 15,000 people here. They're going to have our heads. Like, you want me to feed them? And he's like, yeah, you go feed them. And so they get some fish and they get some bread and they bring it to Jesus. And Jesus does what only Jesus can do. That I can't do, that you can't do, that we can't do. He does the impossible. And what he does is he takes it and he gives thanks. I heard a guy say one time he got saved and he didn't know what to do. And so he just, when he was out praying for someone, he was just doing all the abracadabras, like everything. And nothing was working. And I was like, dude, because why don't we just start thanking the Lord?
We're going to raise keys right? In a second.
He said he started to do that. He started to offer thanksgiving in his prayer. And he watched as the Lord would use him in a mighty way to do miracle signs and wonders. That's right. So are you okay? You believe in miracles in this place? Okay. And in that moment, Jesus, thanks. And 15,000 plus people are fed. It's powerful. What's so fascinating about this is that in John's account of that moment, so Matthew's account explains this, but John, who writes, I would say, more intimately, I love the Gospel of John. I love it. I think it's an intimate look into living close and near to Jesus, right? And John says in his account, something that just struck my heart one day. He says this, talking of that moment, talking of that place it happened. In John 6, then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread. After the Lord had given thanks. So what is the point? The point is that a miracle just happened. 15,000 people fed. If I'm John and I'm writing John's account, I'm not, but if I am, I'm going, yo, this is the place where Jesus got some loaves, some fish, and this brother did a supernatural miracle, and 15,000 people were fed, and there was basketfuls left over afterward. It was awesome. It was amazing. It was super. Is anybody else writing the story like that? Come on. I am. John doesn't. Because what John recognized, what made the supernatural moment, what broke lack, was Jesus' thanks. It said where the people ate and where the Lord gave thanks. I think heaven wakes up when there's more consumption in our hearts about giving thanks than there is about what I need, or even the supernatural, or even the glamorous. Just being a people that are like, Lord, thank you for all that you've given my life. You're in a position of lack. Just begin to thank him. Thank him for what you do have. Oh man, how quick our hearts would change when we thank him for what we have. Thank him for the house you do have. Thank him for the apartment that you do have. Thank him for the roommate that you do have. Thank him for the car you do have, even if it has three wheels. Thank him that it's still going. Married couples, thank him for the spouse you do have. Not the one you, thank him for the one you do have. And watch as, even if it's a hard marriage right now, watch as your Thanksgiving turns that situation around. Thank him for the kids you have. Thank him for the friendships you have. Thank him for your church. Thank him that you're a part of a body that believes in the word, that lives according to the word, that you have pastors and leaders that are full of integrity and character and strength. Thank, you see what starts to happen? You start to get your eyes off of you and your lack and what you don't have, and it puts you on the one who can do everything. Do I have time for one more? Maybe two? Is this helpful? It's simple. We need this. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thanksgiving will keep your hearts from becoming foolish. Oh, we all go down paths of foolishness at times, or we lack discernment, we lack wisdom, we make a call or a judgment, we miss it. Like we've, right? Hands, I'm a participation guy. Foolish, I know it's a real, it can be like, whoa, that sounds heavy and hard, but breaking it down just means lacking good sense of judgment. How many of you know, as believers, as the church of Jesus Christ, we need a good sense of judgment? Romans 1, 21 through 22 says this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Do you see it? So we read the Bible sometimes and we just glance over stuff like that. He's talking of people that have foolish hearts right now. He's talking in context of people that have been darkened by decisions and choices. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. What keeps you from foolishness? Thanksgiving unto him. I'm convinced. You can't tell me otherwise. It's like every day waking up, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations, thanking him, and I've watched my life be guarded. Oh, I'm telling y'all, please hear me. I can't pray for you for this, but I can help us. I've watched decisions in my life over the last 6 months be vastly different. How many of you need help in your decision making? Nobody? I talk to guys all the time. They're like, I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should start this business. I don't know if I should make this job transition. I don't know if I should date this person. I don't know if I should do this. I don't know. And then, so what happens is they go and they just do the thing. I wonder what would happen in the body of Christ if instead we're so consumed about making the right decision, we just start going, Lord, thank you for wisdom. Thank you for this day today. Thank you that you're gonna speak to me today. Thank you for your voice over my life today. Thank you that your word's gonna reveal something to me today. Thank you, God, that you're not gonna lead me down a path of destruction. Thank you that your right hand is upon me. Thank you that my path that you've put me on is of green pastures. Thank you, Jesus, that my mind and my heart does not need to act foolish, but I can be a person of great strength. See what Thanksgiving does? It aligns us properly. Thanksgiving kills our complaining. I got 3 minutes. Can I go here? You know, it's a familiar passage of scripture, and I know different translations read it differently, but I do think at the core of it, it talks about that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Right? You all know the scripture? The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So one thing that I've always just lately just been saying, well, if the Lord inhabits my praises, then who inhabits my complaining? Did you hear me in the back? If the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, then who inhabits or what inhabits complaining? I would beg to say that the spirit of darkness, the yoke of heaviness, the spirit of depression, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of fear comes in when we start complaining. But when we start to look to him and be thankful, his presence comes and those things leave. It kills complaining, which in return, I believe more than ever, a complaining spirit, an ungrateful heart, it brings in more things than we were ever called to live in. Yo, listen to me. This is an experience thing for me too as well. Yes, it's Bible. Yes, it's true. But I've experienced this personally. I've told you, I've walked through seasons of darkness. I've been in a moment where I felt like full-blown depression hit me and I didn't know what to do. I've had 2 panic attacks. And it's going like, why is this happening? And I've been with the Lord on this journey of discovering, like, what does it look like to get stronger in him? And this is one of the things he said. Jay, you complained more than you gave me praise for. And if you can learn, listen, please, please, please. If you can learn how to praise me, depression will never be your portion. Anxiety will never be your portion. Fear will never be your portion. Some of you in this room right now, I believe you're going to get set free from depression and anxiety. This is not a Christian thing for a pastor to say. I truly believe it in my spirit. If you can make the decision that this today, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to rejoice in him, I'm going to commune with him, but I'm going to give him thanks today for everything he's done in my life, for everything that I haven't even seen him do in my life, I'm going to give him thanks. And I just believe today, depression, anxiety is broken. Some of you are going to be able to... I say this, I believe it. Some of you are gonna be able to stop getting medicine to help you. We're for it. But hey, he's a really big God. He's a really good God. And I'm telling you today from a personal experience that when I just start praising him and thanking him, the devil does not have a foothold. Thank you. Thank you. You're just a charismatic nutcase. You're just an extrovert. No, this isn't just for the extroverts. It says, everyone lift up your voice. Everyone give him shouts of praise. Everyone declare the goodness of God in the land. Every single person give him thanks. Oh, I just encourage some of you right now, just open up your mouth just for a second. Say thank you. Just say thank you. Thank you. The worship team can come.